Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks so much for tuning in to another broadcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And guess what? I have a question for you. Are you ready for decentralization? We are continuing our series today examining the spiritual and practical realities beyond blockchain technology and cryptocurrencies. And today, we look at decentralization. Now, we all have those topics, those hot buttons, which really get us angry or revved up. Do you know what's actually behind them? Join me now as we take a sobering look at the price we pay to have kings who rule over us, as we learn to see beyond the politics, beyond corporations, and beyond the noise, into the heart of our world's true problem. Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for coming back for another broadcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I am so glad to have you here. Welcome to Sunday. My name is Kevin Winder. I am your host. I'm an online pastor, author, and uncoach, and I want to welcome you to this week's program. We are in a series that is quite interesting, and before we get going on that, I do want to invite you to go to my website. It's www.kevinwinder.com. Remember, I spell my name like the number 7, K-E-V-E-N. Go to kevinwinder.com and sign up for my weekly newsletter. It's entitled Winder's Windshield. When you do that, you'll have an opportunity to engage with me. We can start a dialogue. You can explore uncoaching. You can also take advantage of all the resources that are available online. That's 2 years of podcasts with the KevCast. And that's almost or over 6 years of content in my blog. So go to kevinwinder.com, sign up for Winder's Windshield. Do that today. I'll be so happy if you do. Now, like I said earlier, we are in the midst of a series. This may be the last one. I may or may not add another one. But we're looking at something that is quite popular, and it's right at the verge. It's blockchain technology, cryptocurrency. But we're not just looking at it from an investment perspective. I mean, that is important, but that's really the small story. There are huge spiritual realities that lie right behind it. And so we were in part three. The first time we looked at crypto, which is the word hidden. The second series last week, we looked at what is blockchain technology and what is the cosmic blockchain that from which blockchain technology comes. And today, the title of our talk is called Decentralization Has No King. That's right. Decentralization has no king. And we are talking, of course, about decentralization and the spiritual realities behind it. Now, I want you to consider a few things. Now, last week, I showed how blockchain technology promises to be so disruptive because it stems from a deeper inner spiritual reality that has been disrupting institutions of power throughout all human history. You see, subversion takes many, many forms, but it is an unstoppable cosmic power. Matthew 3:10 says, even now the axe is laid to the root. And this was part of the series I did, 8 weeks series on subversion. And what this new world, this promised kingdom from Jewish prophecy was all about, what Jesus said to have established, what John the Baptist was the forerunner of. This was all about subversion, subverting institutional power. Now, this is where it hits home. And this study, like my previous one, is one that really gets some traction into reality. This is not just the five F's of faith, right? This is real teaching about how the Bible makes sense and you can see it come alive in your own reality. So let me ask you a question. How do you feel about pharmaceutical companies creating healthcare policies that promote greater sales of their own drugs, right? I mean, they just keep lowering the blood pressure number so that they can sell more blood pressure medicine. They keep lowering the cholesterol number so that they can sell more statins. They keep rewriting the rules of what is healthy and what isn't. Do you like that? What about chemical companies dumping pesticides into genetically modified organisms and then putting those into the nation's food and water supplies. How do you like knowing that you can go to the store and there's a genetically modified organism that your body doesn't recognize and then treats with, like it does a flu bug, with inflammation and all kinds of problems? How do you like the fact that a corporation can genetically modify a food product and call it a pesticide? They have to register it as a pesticide and then they can just put it in all our food. What do you think about banks and the financial industry profiting off of people's savings and pilfering as much as 2/3 of our retirement savings? What do you think about all that? Am I getting at you? Am I getting some of those topics that just kind of get your goat? Let me ask you this. Do you trust the government to look over the very best, with the best interest over you? Really, do you really trust the government that it's going to have your best interest in mind when it comes to your health and retirement and your finances? Do you trust big bank CEOs? let me just tell you right there, if these issues make your blood boil, then whether you know it or not, you are a part of decentralization. But it's not enough just to look at decentralization. We're actually going to go kind of look beyond it. And the revolution of decentralization has already begun, and it will not stop. You see, it's that William Wallace cry for freedom. And I showed last week how this is actually a cosmic force within all humanity. It's the cry of freedom. Now, having eyes to see, we then realize that we don't hate politicians. We don't hate CEOs. We don't hate investment bankers. What we really hate, what really troubles us and pains us deep to the core, is that the institutional control that these groups have over us. Isn't that right? It's institutional control. Institutional powers are the real kings of oppression in our life. And, you know, Paul said in Ephesians 6:12 that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against rulers and authorities, principalities and powers, right? So when you really gain the eyes to see, you realize we're really not fighting the people. The people are just victims of the institutional power plays that are there. And yes, there may be greed and all pride and everything that's motivating it, creating and perpetuating it. But trust me, it goes back to institutional power. This is why the gospel and the message of the kingdom is so subversive. This is why Jesus' path throughout his life was exactly what it is. Go back and listen to that 8-part series that I did on this subversive kingdom, and it'll really help you kind of unpack some of this. Now, the introduction of blockchain technology actually means, as I showed last week, that power and control and domination need no longer be centralized to institutions, corporations, or governments, right? It's a potential platform for an integrated global community. It's really a platform for amazing unity among all humanity. And so we know the drill, though, right? I mean, we know the usual hierarchy. Those at the top make the biggest percentages, while those at the bottom struggle to even get by. And the masses feed the higher levels of institutional power. And those at the top always have disproportionately more economic, racial, and political power than everybody else. Do you recognize that? Do you have the eyes to see at least that what we're calling unfair is actually the fact of the institutional power that gives the most to the few and the least to the masses? Now, that reality, it creates competition and corruption. And we all see this every day when we go to work, how people jockey for positions and they try and gain those top spots so that they can have their own unfair share of the pie. Meanwhile, the poor, the unbankable, or those who can't compete in the market are left with crumbs, deeper enslavement, and the byproducts of the corruption of the people making decisions at the top. Isn't this what we see in our life? And so, you know, there's a world cry to try and make change and to make things better, but it never seems to come to pass. And whether you vote Republican or Democrat doesn't seem to make a difference either, does it? You see, Jewish history, though, shows us that corrupt kings were never a part of the plan. Did you know that? You see, some people just dismiss the Bible, but it's a book full of amazing teaching in history about humanity and our world. And it was never part of the plan that kings would rule over us, but instead, the people demanded kings, right? In 1 Samuel chapter 8, you can read about this. The Jewish people said, appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations. They wanted a king to basically take care of them, to go out and fight for them. And Samuel, the prophet, was saying, hey, you guys, don't you realize they're going to tax you? They're going to oppress you. They're going to take your daughters and your sons. They're going to take your cattle, your well-being, your life, and everything else in order to make this thing that's going to take care of you. It's going to come from you. Why not just enjoy personal power and freedom, right? But the people were insistent. They were not about to have personal power. You see, people don't really want to be free and personally empowered, at least not most people. And that's how you really tell who's under anesthesia in this world and who's not. The people who really want personal empowerment and freedom, there's the one who have woken up. The ones that want to just be taken care of are still in la-la land, sleeping away. Now, the rejection of, you know, the Jewish people to their prophet Samuel, right, when they said, no, Samuel, we are going to have a king. I assure you, we don't want to be free. We want to have a king. What they really rejected there, and, you know, Samuel was the prophet, just read through that lens, that they rejected the voice of God. And it's actually the rejection of God, as, you know, God says to Samuel, they have not rejected you, Samuel, they've rejected me. And another way of looking at that through the lens of our modern perspective is to say that they've rejected personal responsibility and love. They have rejected love. Why? Because it's just easier to be taken care of than to actually take responsibility and show up in your life and be a good neighbor and grow your humanity. That takes a lot out of you. You see, and the way this looks in our world today is really a false binary political system. I mean, those who want less of a king, who want less government, those are really those people who can compete in the marketplace and gather more resources on their own than what the government can provide. And so as a result, they always feel like the government is taking way too much. Now, those that can't or won't compete in a free market, they can usually gather more resources through the king or through the government than they can on their own. And so we have these two sides that are designed by our system, right? It's a false binary. And the reason it's false is because both sides are actually the same oppressive king. I mean, don't be delusional here. Just because you're a Republican or you're a Democrat, don't think that it's the other side that's wrong. If you pick a side, you're already deeply ingrained into whatever the king has for you. You see, the poor and the rich both believe that the opposite side is taking from them. Have you ever realized that? The rich people say, well, you're going to reallocate my wealth and give it to the poor. And so the poor people who don't want to work are actually taking my money from me. And the poor say, look, I can't make any traction in this world because all the money is being displaced and going to the few at the top. And that's exactly what they want you to believe. You see, it's actually the king that's taking the money. And this is Samuel's warning to the people. Don't you realize the king is going to take everything from you and keep wanting more and more and more and more? And meanwhile, they've got you fighting with your brothers and sisters. You see how this works, folks? And I'm not trying to sound cynical here. And, you know, trust me, I love America as much as anybody else. But America, as you know, is not perfect. And America is not really a democracy, although that is what the propaganda machine would like us to believe. America is really a corporatocracy. You see, the little kings of corporations pay the big kings of politicians to force compliance to all of us who are enslaved to the system. The propaganda machine just convinces us that our kings know what's best for our health, that the kings know what's best for our finances, and that the kings know what's best for our families. And shoot, we'd be lost without them. And so we just happily abdicate our personal power and our wealth to the kings that lull us to sleep with entertainment. They lull us to sleep with their fear-mongering, and they get us going back and forth with all the infighting. So the more that we're engaged in all this hatred of the other side, we're deflecting from the fact that, you know, any blame could ever end up at the king himself, right? They just pit us against each other, and the two-party system works by using news that keeps us distracted and angry and fearful, right? We all know this. This is our reality. We live it every single day. Hopefully you're awake enough to realize it. If not, and you're playing the party line, then, you know, just be prepared to be more worn down and, you know, have your life gradually eroded from right underneath of you. Now, this was never to be the plan for God's free people. You see, God's plan was always that people would be free and not have a king. You know, we were to be a people governed by one law only, and that's the law of love. And one law, when deeply followed, the law of love, solves every single problem in the world by subversion. Think about that for a minute. The law of love, if followed deeply, solves every problem in the world by subverting it. And this is why the blockchain spells trouble to the establishment, right? The blockchain technology and cryptocurrency has the power to do to Goldman Sachs what happened to Blockbuster Video when the internet showed up. You know, this is why we would expect to hear Big Pharma and Big Agriculture and Big Finance and Big Brother all warn against cryptocurrencies and the new applications of blockchain technology. And that's exactly what we're seeing. Oh, don't go over there. It's too risky. It's too dangerous. And like I said in last week's post, yes, there is a lot of risk and upside and downside. But this technology, it spells trouble for those who are dependent on the king, like it says in Samuel 8:19-20, when you're dependent on the king to fight for you, this technology could also be trouble for you. Think about that. If you need the big system to take care of you because you've never experienced personal empowerment, then blockchain technology is going to ultimately subvert that as well. So can you see, when I look at it this way, the deeper issue? I mean, it's always a spiritual reality that's manifesting itself into a global problem. The king gets to define the problem. Make no mistake about it. We don't get to define the problem. The king defines the problem. And when they do, they like to say it's something like unemployment. The problem is housing. The problem is personal or civil rights. The problems out there are energy. Sustainable energy. The problems are transportation. The problems are education. The problems are communication, homeland security, immigration, taxes, and so on and so on and so on. And hopefully, folks, that you're gaining eyes to see that these problems are not the problem. Oh, sure, they affect us. They affect a lot of people, but those are not the problem. You can run an entire political campaign on those problems, and that's exactly what they do. They convince you that they're going to solve the problem, and then you vote for them, and then they never solve the problem. And each definition is really designed just to divide the nation and reinforce our need for a king to come and sort it all out for us. Each day, it just takes more freedom from us. It takes more resources from us, more of our humanity, while it promises a better tomorrow. That is exactly what God and Samuel were discussing when they were talking about Israel requesting a king. Now, in reality, these problems are not what we think they are. Yes, I get it. We have what we think is an ecological problem with global warming, but in reality, that's not what it is. Every single problem is actually a truth problem. And this was something that I talked about in my book, Getting Better When You Can't. And so if you really want to dive into this, I can prove to you there is no problem in the world that is not actually a truth problem. I mean, cancer is not a problem. It's only a problem in the fact that we don't know or won't do something. And that's all that another say, that's only to say another way of saying that it's a truth problem, right? It's a truth problem in our application of it, or a truth problem in our apprehension of it. It's something we don't know or won't do. And so there is no poverty problem. There's only people who don't know something or won't do something. Think about it. There are no political problems. There's just people who don't know something or won't do something. There's no ecological problem, corruption problems, or financial problems. These are simply problems of either not knowing or not doing. See, everything can be reduced to a truth problem, which ultimately is another way of saying everything is spiritual in its nature. And so how we understand and apply the truth that we're able to grasp. Now, keep in mind, none of us have all the truth. We all possess some truth. None of us possess all the truth. We're all partial believers in the truth. And so the reality is that we're supposed to lean on each other and gather the truth that each other possesses. But what has happened? The king turns around and capitalizes on the fact that you perceive truth on one side and you perceive truth on the other side, and then you can fight about it. Truth is spiritual in its nature, and it's redemptive in its application every single time. The greater truth that you're able to apprehend, the more corresponding benefit and blessing to your life. The less amount of truth that you're able to apprehend, the corresponding loss and increasing sorrow and suffering there is in your life. So if we turn to a king, we trade wider truth for narrower truth. Now, why am I talking about all of this? Well, because that's what I do on this program. I go way beyond everything to show you what's behind it all. And here's why, especially if we're talking about blockchain technology. You see, there is a new generation that is leading the path to global decentralization and ushering in a new world. Do you know that? Well, I'm trying to wake you up to that reality. You see, only a small percentage of the world is on board, and already, if cryptocurrency were an emerging market like a new country, it would already be the seventh largest GNP in the world. Do you realize that? And it's just getting started. So those whose consciousness has risen beyond bigotry, those people who have kind of risen up beyond competition, beyond otherness, are actually uniting via the blockchain and establishing global ecosystems to solve the world's problems. And it has the power to displace all centralized power centers for the good of all humanity. This means your healthcare has the potential to look way better. This means communications. This means paying your bills. This means the financial markets are all in a place where they can be decentralized, and the powers that have corrupted and controlled and abused you can be subverted and democratized so that all people share in the beauty. Now, that's a big stretch. It's certainly, just so you understand where I'm coming from, I don't know for sure that that's going to happen. I hope that it can. I believe that these are the rails upon which something amazing like that can happen, but then we all know kind of what's going to happen, don't we? Right? I mean, whether you realize this or not, this transformation, this group of people who are trying to build a platform upon which the good of the world can be retooled, that's the global church. And though very few of the people who are working on it would even describe themselves that way, that is the definition that I have come to know and understand. And I think it's the best one that makes the most sense of it. And in their wake is redemption and renewal and hope. Now imagine a world where companies like Monsanto or Goldman Sachs or Pfizer are subverted, just like Blockbuster, record stores, and printed newspapers were when the internet came out. You see, folks, this technology is bringing in that kind of change. It's coming. I hope you understand that. Decentralization is total disruption. Decentralization is complete subversion. It's not an overtaking. It's not an overpowering. but it is the subverting. It's going to be a change of power from underneath. It has the potential to arrive on principles of equity and grace and love, but like I was saying earlier, that may all be too good to be true. You see, the greatest challenge still remains, just like it did in Samuel's day. The herd may not want freedom and empowerment. And thus, I fear we may not do a very good job stewarding this amazing technology. A lot of people really don't want to be free as much as they want to pretend that they do. Because with freedom comes personal responsibility and responsibility to love somebody else in a generous way. You have to lay down your bigotry. You have to lay down your pride. You have to lay down all the things that divide us. And for too many people, it's just easier to have the king fight your battle and just stay entrenched onto one side of the fence and throw stones over the top. Now, if you have a place where you can rise above that, then welcome to the new world. And here's one thing that we can absolutely be sure of. The new world is here, and it's here now. And the moment that we wake up, we will be able to regain the lives that we have sold to our kings. Hi, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder from Beyond Everything Radio. You know, making lasting change is really hard. And if you've tried but failed to change a habit or a compulsive behavior, then you know what I mean. And I want you to know you're in good company. In my book, Getting Better When You Can't, I deconstruct the mechanics of behavior. And so when your willpower or motivation or inspiration isn't enough, or when therapy, brain science, or religious guilt just didn't cut it, why not try wisdom? I offer a centuries-old approach to personal change that was 10 years in the making from countless hours of coaching. Go and get Getting Better When You Can't. Get it today. You can download it immediately on iBooks or Kindle if you want, or if you'd like a hard copy or the audio CD, just get it from my website at kevinwinder.com. Look for Getting Better When You Can't.